T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, I got some. Mr. Klein back in the studio is working on some audio as the definitive political program in America, outside of this one, of course. The View got pretty nasty with Joy Behar and Meghan McCain this morning. So I'm just hearing this now. We'll share that in just a couple of minutes. For whatever reason, I clicked on Facebook at the top of the hour and I looked at Facebook memories, which is kind of fun. And I don't really do a whole lot on Facebook these days, although I did. Last week, I posted a great picture of a photograph that my wife turned. It was actually a photograph from a professional photographer here of my daughter and I that my wife turned into a portrait, had it commissioned an artist in California that made it a great, great portrait. And it's beautiful and it's a great, unique present. But I was looking at Facebook memories. And for those people who aren't on Facebook, if you don't have ex-boyfriends and girlfriends that you're looking for, it's just one of those things that comes up on this day. You know, 9 years ago, you said this stupid thing on Facebook. It's sort of, and it's funny too. If you go back to the early days of Facebook, we were all saying really dumb stuff. I mean, I think we all still say really dumb stuff on Facebook, but it's kind of embarrassing. But this was one from 6 years ago today that I thought was funny, because Becky was pregnant and we were a couple of months out of the due date. And I said this on Facebook. I thought the reactions here, I was like, the original plan was not to reveal the name of our daughter until she was born, but because of mounting pressure, we have decided to cave. Granted, this could change between now and March 4th, which was the original due date, but after much thought and consideration, I said we have settled on Iggy Azalea Reardon. Now, Iggy Azalea at the time was she's a pop star musician. I haven't heard of her. Dave, have you heard of Iggy Azalea in years?
No, ever since that Facebook memory, no, she kind of just fell off the wayside, didn't she?
You know, what's funny, though, about that, I don't know if you remember this post, but people thought I was serious, you know, because people didn't know, if you didn't know who Iggy Azalea was. So if I'm looking at the comments here, people were like, I remember one person, Mark, I don't know if I like that name. I'm like, oh, good Lord. That's funny. Anyway, a couple things I want to get to here. First, an update on Bean Dad. Bean Dad has now apologized. Bean Dad, we ran this down yesterday. John Roderick is a musician, I suppose. I don't really know anything about his music, but he's a guy who does a podcast with Ken Jennings from Jeopardy fame. And you know what's interesting is Ken Jennings had to apologize last week for a bunch of tweets in the past. And I guess John Roderick is another guy who's got some tweets in the past. I don't get very concerned about these things because I've got tweets where they can be misinterpreted if someone wants to go back and, you know, manipulate what I said or question. You say things sometimes in a joking fashion and maybe they're not interpreted that way. Or if you tweet something in 2015 about Iggy Azalea and then you look at it in 2020, maybe it looks stupid. I don't know. But anyway, all he did was his daughter, who's 9 years old, did not know how to use a can opener, like a, you know, what would you call it? A manual can opener. And he claimed to use it as a teaching moment that turned into a hungry girl spending 6 hours trying to operate a can opener and get inside a can of baked beans. And people took this literally, like the girl was in some sort of child labor camp for 6 hours, twisting and turning and trying to get the can open. And at first, people chime in, and there were teachers that said, this is not, I'm a teacher. I did this yesterday. This is not a good teaching moment. People cannot take a joke on Twitter or really anywhere else. And this is what makes it worse. So he deactivates his Twitter because people are hammering him, where the response should have been, shut the you-know-what up, and if you can't take a joke, go away. That should be the response to people. But he says, now he's got to apologize, okay? Oh, my God. You got to apologize, right? I deactivated my Twitter in a panic. I had to reflect on what I'd done and the hurt I had caused. My mind was clouded by an unprecedented flow of new information. I want to acknowledge and make amends for the injuries I've caused. What? I have many things to atone for. My parenting stories, insensitivity, and legacy of hurtful language in my past are both profound failures. I want to confront them directly, he wrote on his website. Now, I can't speak to his tweets because some of his tweets from the past were somewhat questionable, but I don't know if they were truly, they're being labeled as, you know, racist and sexist and homophobic. Were they jokes? He says that they were jokes. I think you have to allow for humor in tweets. Some people don't. So now, I defended the guy yesterday because I thought the reaction was so over the top. Now Bean Dad has apologized, and it's just silly. Shame on you for apologizing. It's just ridiculous. I want someone to come up and have the guts to say, no, I'm not going to apologize for this. It was a joke. My daughter's fine. Which, by the way, is what he said originally. But because, now, here's the other angle of this. And I do understand this because I sit here as someone who talks on the radio, and I could say something at any time that gets me fired and canceled, right? I've been worried about that in the past. We have a guy 2 years ago in St. Louis, Kevin Steincross, this month, that went on television on MLK Day. I won't even say the whole name. And he simply made a mistake mispronouncing the name. Nobody even noticed it except for one person who emailed the station. The station panicked. Fox, in an embarrassing, ridiculous fashion, suspended him and eventually sent him on his way packing, hopefully with a big check, because he deserved a big check. And he's a great guy and the least bigoted guy that would have ever done this in St. Louis. But he was canceled because he simply made a mistake. And they apologize if they would never see. Here's the thing about that. If they would not have apologized, Fox goes on that morning after Kevin Steincross did that early in the morning and they apologized. I think he had to come on. They forced him to apologize. If they would have never done that, it probably would have never happened. He would still have his job. So the cancel culture is real and it's scary, but I understand it because I could lose my job and people lose their jobs. So this guy probably worried he's going to lose his job, right? He's going to lose his income. He's got several jobs. Rowan Atkinson is a guy who created Mr. Bean in a series of movies. Not my jam, as they say. I'm not someone who finds Rowan Atkinson funny, but that's just, you know, personal opinion. But I like what he says here. He's comparing the cancel culture to a medieval mob. The problem we have online is that an algorithm decides what we want to see, which ends up creating a simplistic binary view of society. It becomes a case of either you're with us or against us. And if you're against us, you deserve to be canceled. It's important that we're exposed to a wide spectrum of opinion. But what we now have is the digital equivalent of the medieval mob roaming the streets looking for someone to burn. So it's scary for anyone who's the victim of that mob, and it fills me with fear about the future. It fills me with a lot of fear about the future, mainly because people like the guy that I just talked about, John Roderick, don't have the guts and the courage to say, you know, I'm not going to apologize for this. Part of the problem is media companies put pressure. And I can guarantee you, and I love my company, that if I did something that ended up getting in the news, no matter if what I said was controversial or not, it wouldn't matter. Because you got stock prices involved, you have, you know, pressure for all these things happen. So it is very real, but it's dangerous. And I think it's very, very scary. And I don't know where we're heading. And it's a very small number of people that are vocal on Twitter and Facebook, but they can get you canceled. All right, a couple other things here I want to touch on. We'll get to Meghan McCain as we wrap this up. And Tim Fitch is coming up. This is shocking. I want you to, if you're driving right now, you may want to pull over. If you are, I always warn people because I have a can of Diet Coke in my hand right now. I'll take a little swig here in a moment. And it is dangerous when you share stories along these lines, what I'm about to do. You might spit Diet Coke or milk out your nose when you hear it. This is, brace yourself. Here's the headline. This is from NBC News. Trans women retain athletic edge after a year of hormone therapy study. Oh my, are you kidding me? This story, listen to this. I don't think I would have ever expected this. A new study suggests transgender women, that means men, maintain an athletic advantage over their cisgender peers, that's women, even after a year on hormone therapy. The results published last month in the British Journal of Sports Medicine could mean the current one-year waiting period for Olympic athletes who are transitioning is inadequate. You think? I mean, again, and here's what's interesting about this. I looked at this on Twitter, and I put this, you can follow me at Mark Reardon KMOX, and I tweeted this out basically saying, duh, who doesn't know this? Such a mystery. But if you go to the original tweet from NBC News, you'll find that people think that this is nonsense. In other words, people think that it's okay for trans women who are biological men to compete against women who are biologically female. I can't say men. I'm breaking Nancy Pelosi's rules left and right here. I can't say man, woman, female. These are words that have been banned in Congress right now. So I apologize in advance because I'm going to be forced to apologize for the language that I used just now with mentioning men and women. And I just apologize for that from the bottom of my heart. So somebody says, well, that's a very small sample for a study, right? So your headline is reckless given how many transphobes will use this to justify discrimination. Justify discrimination? Justify discrimination? Are you kidding me? It's okay in the trans world and apparently in the cancel culture to have young girls like my daughter, who will be competing in athletics maybe at some point in her life, compete against boys who then decide to transition to girls, which is fine. I don't care if that's what you want to do. I actually have a trans acquaintance, movie critic, who responded to this. Didn't even seem so bent out of shape about my questioning it. But you have someone on here that actually said, well, you know, everybody, men and women should compete equally. We should just drop this. Are you kidding me? Someone who doesn't understand the differences in basic biology. I love the fact that the left loves science, man. You guys on the left, you defend science all the time. This is kind of science, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think they get that. All right, we'll wrap this up with Meghan McCain back on The View. They're doing it all virtually. Joy Behar, one of the most annoying, I wish they'd cancel her because she's one of the most grating people on television or anywhere in media, says this about Republicans, and Meghan McCain is put on her heels.
The Republican Party is in much more trouble right now because
you
have really traitors.
You have AOC saying she's going to primary Chuck Schumer.
Excuse me, am I done? I'm not done.
Well, it's just that's completely inaccurate. You have AOC fighting right now about whether or not she's going to end up primarying Chuck Schumer, coming out not saying she has the full support of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. You have the squad that's coming out very intensely, very angry that Biden hasn't filled his cabinet with more progressives. Bernie Sanders also coming out saying he's angry. The idea that there isn't fighting within the Democratic Party
speaking.
As well. I'm talking about
Joy.
Missed me so much when I was on maternity leave. You missed me so much. You missed fighting with me.
I did not miss you.
Okay, somebody answer the question.
Can I weigh in?
Or I'm moving on.
I'd like to weigh in.
All right, so Whoopi trying to, that's enough. Whoopi trying to get involved there and police the situation. Maybe they do hate each other. Sometimes it's manufactured, though. But, man, I don't. There are certain people I think I could work with. Joy Behar, not among them. Tim Fitch coming up next. County Councilman updating us, giving us a little primer on this meeting tonight, which could be about as nasty as what you just heard from The View, coming up next on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
All right, well, this is just breaking here from the People's Republic of Wisconsin, my former state. Earlier this week, Governor Tony Evers had authorized the mobilization of the state's National Guard, bracing for unrest because there was a decision that was anticipated over whether to charge in the Jacob Blake case. Of course, we know what happened in Kenosha. Rustin Shesky is the officer who's white who shot Jacob Blake in the back, and this is being reported now by my colleagues in Wisconsin. Wisconsin prosecutors have declined to charge that officer who shot Jacob Blake. So that should end well. And the Kenosha prosecutor, district attorney, is actually making that case right now. So we'll see if we can get some of that audio for a little later in the show. We have controversy here in St. Louis with the St. Louis County Council. My councilman, Tim Fitch, with me this afternoon, former chief of police in St. Louis County. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Happy New Year.
Do you remember enough about the Jacob Blake case to kind of weigh in on whether or not there should have been charges. I don't remember all the details, but that was the one where, you know, they circled around the car and then they went and the vehicle was open. There was a bit of a struggle and then the shots were fired.
I don't remember all the details of it, but I knew the other day when they said more than 500 National Guard members had been mobilized for this, that it was going to be a no charging announcement, because they certainly wouldn't have done that if it wasn't going to be.
Yeah, that is not going to probably end very well in Kenosha tonight. And let's talk about our situation here in St. Louis with the county council. So maybe some fireworks tonight. Is that what we're expecting?
Well, there's certainly going to be some controversy and some differences of opinion, and I fully expect that.
All right, so tell me what's going on, though. I mean, this is because most people, including me, don't understand the inner workings of county government, but is leadership on the line?
It is. Every year, the council elects a chair and vice chair that serves for the year, and that's required in the charter for the first meeting of the year. However, there was a slight charter change back in August, where the citizens voted in a new charter, which didn't change many things. But one of the things it did say is instead of having newly elected members sworn in at noon on the 1st of January, we're going to change it to the second Tuesday of January. So that would be the 12th this year. So what that did was it said that the new member being sworn in this case, Shalonda Webb, who was voted in overwhelmingly over Rochelle Walton Gray, who's the incumbent, she doesn't actually start in her chair until the 12th. One thing the new charter did not do is extend the four-year term limit on people that are not reelected. So it made it very clear it's a four-year term. And so that means if Rochelle Walton Gray started on January 1st, 2017, her term ended at 11:59 p.m. on December 31st. However, some on the council, including Councilwoman Gray, have decided on their own with no legal basis that they're going to extend her term all the way up through the 12th to the 12th until Mrs. Webb takes her seat. Nothing in the charter change in August gave an additional 11 days or even one day to anyone after their four-year term, but they're going to do it anyway. And they're trying to interpret that this charter change also meant that the term should be extended and it shouldn't be.
So is this legal? That's one of the questions.
I think that a good number of people in St. Louis County that now know the facts have said absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the only people I've heard try to defend this is Sam Page's office, which, of course, he wants his own handpicked member in as the council chair, and that's really what this is about. He is supporting this illegal act of Rochelle Walton Gray being able to attend a meeting tonight and cancel and cast votes. He's supporting that, and the only other people I've heard supporting it is Lisa Clancy, Ernie Trakas, and Kelly Dunaway. Nobody else I've heard supporting this.
Okay, let me back up a little bit just to make sure that everyone understands this. Rochelle Walton Gray was up for re-election. She lost, right?
Correct. Big.
Shalonda Webb. Shalonda Webb beat her. Shalonda Webb should be seated today, according to the charter.
No, she's seated on the 12th. That's what changed in the charter. But what it didn't do, Mark, is it did not extend Rochelle Walton Gray's term past January 1st.
Okay.
It did
so
not do that.
So you're not making, because this is where it gets, you're not making the case that Shalonda Webb should vote in the leadership election, but that Rochelle Walton Gray should not, or am I confused about that?
No, I think you're partially right. I'm saying that Shalonda Webb cannot vote today because she's not on the council till the 12th. But what we should have done and easily could have done is said, let's have our first meeting in January being on the 12th.
Next week.
When everyone is in office, and then there's no question. And instead, Lisa Clancy said no, and Ernie Trakas and Rochelle and Dunaway said no, we're going to have it on the 5th and force a vote so we can have Rochelle there, Walton Gray, to vote for our person when she's not legally entitled to do so. That's the rub.
So how do the votes, I like reality. How do the votes break down tonight compared to the way they would break down next week? The expectation would be Shalonda Webb would vote with you and Harder and Trakas?
Trakas is voting with the Democrats on this one, the Kelly Dunaway, Lisa Clancy group. He's made it pretty clear that he's going to do that. We won't know until he votes tonight. But how Shalonda Webb will respond next week, I don't know. That's up to her. She has not indicated who she would support for council chair and vice chair. So that remains to be seen. But I believe tonight The Tracus, Dunaway, Gray, and Clancy group will try to vote in illegally the chair and vice chair for the year, thinking that, okay, we got our person in, Sam's happy, Paige is happy, let's move on. But that doesn't put this to rest.
So what do you do? What are you going to do tonight?
Well, tonight, obviously, we'll express our opinion, our objections about allowing Rochelle Walton Gray to participate in this vote. She's not a member of the council. She cannot be using council resources or even participating. I think that's very clear. The Missouri Constitution makes it clear that her term is not longer than 4 years. And I think they're going to try to do it anyway. They'll take their votes and hope they move on. But I will tell you that it won't be over after tonight if they do that.
What's your reaction right now to where we are with COVID and the restaurant restrictions? You know, you and I had a little bit of an exchange last week, not on the air, because when I saw this stuff about signing into restaurants, I actually can't believe more people are not upset about this, which makes me sad, because I just think it's about the most anti-American thing I could ever think of. And I'm not trying to jeopardize people's health. And I get that the fact that if you use a credit card, they probably have your name anyway. But I'm not signing into a restaurant. I'm going to go to a restaurant. I'm not signing my name in and my contact information in order to help contact tracers, which weren't contact tracing people as recent as just a few weeks ago. It's just nonsense.
Well, it's a good point. I ate at dinner last night with my wife at Satchmo's in Chesterfield, another great meal. I've never had a bad one there. And we did not leave our name and number. It was asked of us on the receipt, and we did not. And as a matter of fact, Mark, they cannot get your phone number. They cannot get your email address from your credit card if you use a credit card. Yes, they may get your name,
right, exactly.
But that's all they will have. And again, whether or not that restaurant is forced to turn over credit card information is another whole legal story. So I think if people want to voluntarily give that information, that's up to them. I did not.
You know, you just reminded me of kind of a funny story. I was in many, many years ago. This might even go back 10 years. I was having breakfast after an award show in Los Angeles. I think I was down on Venice Beach or something like that. And there was a guy at this breakfast place that I recognized. I'm looking at him the whole time. I'm like, who is that? Right. And I couldn't figure it out. And I'm sitting there. I was like obsessed with this the whole time. So he leaves. And I said to the waiter, I said, "Who? This is killing me. Who was that?" Well, the guy was a younger, waiter. So he actually shows me the credit card receipt from the customer, which I don't think you'd probably want to do. But again, there was no contact information on it. It was, we'll test your pop culture knowledge here, Chief, Paul Michael Glazer. You know who that is?
Yeah, sure, Starsky.
Yeah, you're a law enforcement guy.
Absolutely,
you probably inspired
Starsky
you to
and Hutch.
Do what you do. That's right. So, but I'm sitting there looking at him. I hadn't seen him in a long time. I'm like, man, that guy looks familiar. And no, Hutch was not with him at that particular luncheon. Hey, keep me posted on tonight. We'll have you back maybe tomorrow, Chief. Appreciate it.
We'll do, Mark. Have a good one.
All right, take care. 3:30, we'll get to the news. We're coming back much more this afternoon. A little bit of a look back at Dawn Wells and her life with Gino Salamone, who is from Milwaukee, coming up next.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
You know, I have not tried to watch Gilligan's Island with my young daughter up until this point. I think I'm going to try to do that because it was probably my favorite show. If I had to say, Brady Bunch was right there as well. But I love Gilligan's Island so much. And Dawn Wells passed away last week. And I was Team Marianne all the way. No offense to Tina Louise. And I saw a tweet from Gino Salamone, who is an entertainment reporter in Milwaukee. I worked with him for many years. He's now with Fox 6 in Milwaukee, fellow member of the Critics' Choice Association. And he tweeted out about Dawn because I had remembered after your tweet, Gino, that you had a great friendship with Dawn Wells. And I thought it was awesome that you honored her with that tweet. But I wanted to have you on and talk about her a little bit because she was such an important part of my childhood and so many other people. How are you? Happy New Year.
To you, too. Yeah, she was the best. She was someone who, you often have people playing roles that they're nothing like. Dawn was Marianne. She was everything you wanted her to be. She was nice. She was kind to everyone. Happy, energetic, caring. And, she did a lot of work with Stevens College in Missouri. That was her alma mater.
Yeah.
And she raised money for them for many years.
Yeah, when I was in Columbia, I knew, man, I should remember this. I don't think I ever had a chance to meet her or interview her. But I remember, we did news stories when she would come into town from time to time because she was one of the more famous Stevens College alums. How did you get to know her? How did that friendship develop?
I started booking her for personal appearances, and I would get her and Bob Denver and Russell Johnson and even Alan Hale. And that's one of the fond memories of Dawn that I remember. I had them booked in Chicago, and we were at the airport, the five of us, and you could tell that Alan Hale was not well. And it was the last personal appearance, and she and Alan were flying together back to L.A., and she put her arm around him and walked him to the gate. And, you know, that's what you wanted Marianne to be. And, you know, she, like, I could say it a million times, she just was a wonderful person. I never saw a bad side.
You know, and that's what Tina Louise tweeted out last week. Every once in a while, you have folks that are on television shows that don't necessarily get along. Was it your sense that this was a crew that genuinely loved one another?
Well, I will say this.
Okay, there the truth's going to come out.
Tina did not want to participate in any marketing opportunities or chances to make money outside of the series. And there were many of them. In fact, there's a pinball machine that has everybody, the Howells, the Professor, Gilligan, Skipper, but there's no there and Marianne and no Ginger on it. You know, they have a blonde hair woman who kind of looks like her. So there was some resentment, especially with the – and I call him cantankerous, but with great affection. Russell Johnson, the Professor, just loved taking funny shots at her, at Tina Louise, for not participating. You know, Go ahead.
Was it in good fun, or was it kind of, you just kind of hazing her a little bit?
It was in good fun because, you know, so much time had passed. But, you know, she got angry when Bob Denver wrote his book. And in the book, he said that he could hear Tina Louise having sex in her dressing room. And she was Yes. But so she never, ever participated. But what she wrote was very, very sweet. And, you know, her recollections were correct about Dawn. You couldn't help but think of her without a smile on her face.
Now, my producer who connected with you, Dave, is back in the studio, and he's a lot younger than you or I. And you told me, Dave, had you watched this in syndication? Because the show was on. I was too young to watch the show probably when it was first run. I was born in 1965, but 70, 71, 72. I mean, I've seen every episode probably three times.
Sure.
Klein, did you ever watch it?
Oh, yeah, because of Nick at Night, yeah. My dad was a big fan, so I'd always sit down and watch it with him whenever we had the chance. So, I mean, that kind of made me a big fan of it, just because my dad was such a big fan of it.
Gino, it's one of those shows, honest to God, if I'm flipping around and I see Gilligan's Island, I'll still watch just to see what episode it was, because I know them so well, and if it's one that I really loved, I have to watch for a few minutes. It's just one of those shows.
It is one of those shows, and I bet you know every word to the Hamlet episode with Phil Silvers as Harold Hecubar.
I don't know if I can do that on the spot. I do remember the episode, but what was funny, Dave, and I don't know if you have the audio. When Dave was pulling the audio, because he's not as familiar as a lot of us are, he pulled, I don't know if you still have it, he pulled the Poop Poopy Doo song, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you got to play that. That was like epic Ginger and Marianne. Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
That Marianne got hit on the head, and she thought she was Ginger and performed as Ginger.
There were only, 98 episodes of that show?
Right, right. But can I tell you another great thing about Dawn? So she started a business called Wishing Wells, and she had noticed, you know, she took care of her mom, and she had noticed that people with physical challenges had a hard time getting dressed. So she came out with a line of clothing that was easy for someone to put on all by themselves. And again, it's like, what else would you expect from Dawn but something as noble and as wonderful as that?
Well, that's great. And, you know, when I was trying to put some shows together for this week, sometimes you react to things like this the day after. But we were on a holiday week last week, and I still think that maybe people didn't hear the news that Dawn Wells had died. And then maybe people heard the news that Tanya Roberts died yesterday and then heard the news that Tanya Roberts didn't die and then heard the news that Tanya Roberts is dead again. I don't know if you're all caught up on that saga.
Oh, yes. Unbelievable. I felt like Steve Harvey was in charge of handling that whole thing, you know? They announced it. It's not true. Oops. Okay, she's still alive. And then, sadly, you know, she passed away. But can I give you one quick Dawn story about what a good friend she was?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have this fun relationship with Sandra Bullock that we've been engaged for many years. Not true. I wish it were. Anyway, I always like to pull a surprise on her. So I brought her the Lollipop Kid from The Wizard of Oz to sing for her. I brought in Florence Henderson as my mother. So I asked Dawn if she would come in. So I was interviewing Sandra, and I said, you know, look, I know you're not going to marry me, but I want you to reconsider because I have an amazing cook. And she said, you do? I said, yes. I live on an island, and I brought my cook with me. And Dawn Wells walks in holding a coconut cream pie and gave it to her. And she and Sandra hit it off so well. It was just one of those fun, fun moments. And who else would do that as a favor except somebody as nice as Dawn Wells?
I'm so glad you brought that story because I thought of Gino and I used to work together, and I remember he worked at the FM station when I was at WTMJ. You would come in sometimes after, you know, a weekend trip to Hollywood, and the Sandra Bullock stories were always epic. I did not remember that there were Gilligan's Islands connections, but that makes perfect sense.
Yes, yes. And it's I have it on YouTube. If you're bored, you can look up Dawn Wells and Sandra Bullock. It was a great moment. Really a lot of fun. And I'm going to miss it. It hit me like losing a relative because, as you said, we grew up with her. We were so familiar with her. And then over the years, she was just a wonderful, wonderful person. I'm so glad I got to know her.
Before I let you go, what do you got movie-wise? I'm a little behind, you know, just because of the weird year. I finally have watched Nomadland, and I watched Minari last night, you know, and just absolutely fell in love with that movie.
Okay, I agree with you, and I'm as far behind as you. In fact, I'm watching one to do an interview with Michael Ealy this week, which will not be in award consideration, but I have to catch up. I mean, what is our deadline?
I was hoping you would know, because honestly, I know I have a deadline for the St. Louis Film Critics this weekend, but for the Critics' Choice Association, I'm not sure. I should open up the emails. And one more thing before I let you go. I'm going to embarrass you just a little bit, because I think this is important in 2021 also. So Gino and I worked together. We were friends. There was a point in our relationship where there was some dissension, fair to say. We don't have to get into details, but you didn't. There were some things that were happening in my life. You didn't approve of them. And what happened was we didn't talk to each other for a while. But the good thing is that many years later, and I give you credit for this because you did this, is that we were in New York. And we were in a hotel for a movie junket. I can't remember what it was. And the Packers kind of brought us back together because the Packers game was on. And you reached your hand out and said, I can't remember exactly, but I'm all about fresh starts. Bygones be bygones. And that meant a lot to me. It really did, because I did not I don't like it when relationships get frayed. And I know you probably had good reason to question some of my decisions, but it did mean a lot to me. And I wish more people did stuff like that, Gino. I really do.
You know what? I'm so glad, too. And doesn't it make it a lot easier in life when you just don't hold on to those things? And when you see a person, you can be happy to see them.
It does. And thank you so much. I really thank you so much for doing that. And thanks for coming on KMOX this afternoon. I appreciate that as well.
It was a pleasure and an honor because those call letters are legendary.
Well, we like to think so. So were WTMJ when we were both there in Milwaukee. But you're not even in that group anymore. You've been at Fox for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm at Fox, and then one of the hosts of the morning show at WKLH Radio here in Milwaukee.
I don't think I knew that. So you're doing radio in the morning?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's great. Gino Salamone in Milwaukee. Yes. Oh, yeah. Tell them I said hi. We didn't know each other well. I think they might remember me. All right, Gino. Well, I'm going to Google Dawn Wells and Sandra Bullock and check that out. Thanks. Happy New Year, and best to you, and we'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
3:45 at the Voice of St. Louis. Yeah, you know, that was I wasn't sure if I was going to bring that up, but we had a situation, and, you know, he was a guy that I worked with every morning. He worked on the FM. There was a guy named Gene Miller who Reitman and Miller was a big, big show, not unlike Phillips and Wall here in St. Louis in the 80s. And then Gino was sort of the sidekick entertainment guy and brought a lot of humor to the show as well. So every morning when I was doing the morning show, he would come in and you know, we'd always share laughs and great stories, and we had this connection with movies. It was one of the things that I connected with J.C. Corcoran on 20 years ago, and we became friends. Interestingly enough, J.C. and I had a bit of go figure for those people who know J.C. Corcoran. We had a part in our relationship where he didn't speak to me for years. And then finally, I went up to him and I said, J.C., dude, I sent you, because I actually apologized to him for something, and I had sent him an email. And he claims he didn't read it. He probably didn't, because probably in the heat of the moment, he just deleted it. And, you know, we shook hands and let bygones be bygones. But I think that a lot of people, and I've hung on to a couple. I have hung on to a couple over the years where I've just said, okay, I can't deal with you anymore. Klein, have you ever done that? Have you ever just had that friendship that just kind of goes away and it gets frayed, and then you don't get back together.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate when it happens that way. And, I mean, kind of like what Gino said, is you want to be happy to see the person again. So I'm really trying a new thing in 2021 to just, you know, let the past be the past and just get a fresh start with everything.
Because hanging on to all that, it just eats you up.
It's stressful.
It really does. So maybe, yeah, maybe there's a little bit of a lesson there for everyone. 3:46, we'll get to the traffic here and then the audio cut of the day. And I will tell you that, and I didn't want to bring this up with Gino, he's up in Milwaukee. Things are going to get probably pretty nasty there in Milwaukee, in the Kenosha area in particular, because the prosecutors there have declined to charge the officer in the Jacob Blake situation. We'll have some of that for our audio cut of the day coming up next on KMOX.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, we're going to turn this into a bit of an audio cut of the day trifecta here this afternoon, starting with the prosecutor in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Michael Gravely, announcing that they are not going to charge the officer in the Jacob Blake case.
And it is my decision now that I announce today before you that no Kenosha law enforcement officer in this case will be charged with any criminal offense based on the facts and the laws as I will describe them to you now. So it is our decision that no charge will be filed. I'm going to also tell you, just because I think it is important, that no charge will be filed against Jacob Blake in regards to this incident as well. For many of the same reasons, in terms of an overall discussion about this case, that is not something that is something that the district attorney's office intends to pursue.
Not so sure that's going to make Jacob Blake's family feel any better. But look, here, Gravely said three attempts were made to get Blake to comply with the officer's orders to surrender. They used tasers. He was armed with a knife. He was actively resisting. This is what Gravely said today. There was a 911 call and a witness statement that made responding officers reasonably conclude that Blake was attempting to flee with children and they could be at risk. This is really a domestic abuse scenario that played off, he said, in a news conference. So that just broke here, that news conference, in the last half hour or so. Let's see here. I was going to do a couple of them. Let's do, what did I say? Oh, the protesters, Antifa, Josh Hawley's house last night in Washington while he was back here in Missouri.
There are about 17 million people in the United States of America who have coronavirus, confirmed. And all they got together was to give us $600. They don't care about our lives. So while you sit,
apparently, Antifa not aware that Josh Hawley wanted $2,000 checks, but they still tried to beat down his door. And then finally, of course, tomorrow's a big day for Vice President Pence, or is it President Trump weighing in on the electors casting ballots being certified tomorrow?
And I hope Mike Pence comes through for us. I hope that our great Vice President comes through for us. He's a great guy. Of course, if he doesn't come through, I won't like him quite as much. Nah, Mike is a great guy.
I don't think he's going to like him quite as much tomorrow night. That's my gut check. Although, there were some rumors today that Chuck Grassley would actually take Pence's place for all of this, but we'll see if he shows up. That's your audio cut or cuts of the day. Total Information PM is coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.